Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle in them the fire of your love, send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. This beautiful weekend, we're reflecting on Pentecost, this powerful feast where we recall, as we heard in our first reading today, the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, the Paraclete, the Consoler, coming down to animate all of the apostles. We also hear this powerful Spirit of Truth, God coming to be present to humanity, specifically in our gospel passage today. Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's very interesting. The first reading today, this description of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the apostles, them is described in this context of them preaching. All of a sudden, they receive the tongue of fire, which is the Holy Spirit, and then they can all of a sudden preach in all these different languages. Everyone hearing the truth, the good news that Jesus has come to save, to liberate all people from sin in their own language. This universal understanding of the good news. I want to ask you guys a question real quick, and I actually want hands up, so we'll see if you guys are in the participatory mood this morning. But what do you think the universal language of humanity is? Just take a second to think about that question. What is the universal language of humanity? All right, let's see if anyone's courageous enough. Let's see here. Go ahead. Okay, love. Anyone else got another answer? You'd think it'd be love, right? Seems the obvious answer. As I go and talk to the Sunday school kids, it's interesting. No matter what question you ask them, the answer is usually love, Jesus, or the church. It's usually very, very simple. Some things just don't change. So we think love, but let's just take a moment to consider that, the universal language of humanity. Has everyone here on earth truly experienced true love? We say love, but what do we mean by love? There you go, there's a good answer. There's a good answer. I think if we think about it, think about your own life and just some of the people you've encountered, maybe people in your own family, maybe think about, you know, what we see constantly on the TV, you know, wars overseas, think about the realities of, different gang wars that we hear about across our border, all the different ways in which we hear about children who are abandoned at their birth. I don't know if everyone truly has experienced love in their life. The reality is, love is really not a universal language. There are many, many people in the world who have never truly experienced unconditional love. But we think that. It's very interesting. So many people who the only love they've experienced is a partial love, a love that they have to earn, love that they have to be good enough for, a love that they only receive when they act within certain parameters. Sometimes a love that they only receive when they have enough time to finally get enough food in their belly where they can actually think straight and realize the blessings of God around them. So many people in our world have never truly experienced unconditional love, the love that God sends to all humanity this Sunday through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if love isn't the universal language of humanity, what is? Honestly, it's suffering. Every human suffers. Every human experiences the lack of being alive in the unconditional love that God gives us. Maybe many of us here have experienced, hopefully, a small ray of unconditional love in our life, hopefully through our parents, our families, our siblings, hopefully especially here at the church when we come to encounter God. But we all have places in our life of suffering where we also experience that lack of love in our life. Lack of love from others, lack of love for ourselves, ways in which we don't love ourselves, ways in which we don't let God love us. Human suffering is the only thing that truly unites us. It's very interesting today. Jesus tells the apostles at the end of the gospel passage today that to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the adoption that makes them sons and daughters of God, to receive the very Spirit of God that allows us to cry out and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, we have to unite our life to Him through suffering. Let me tell you the exact words. Very interesting. Bringing up this universal language that we all have in our human suffering. Whoops, excuse me. It's in the second reading, not the gospel. Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with Him so that we may be glorified with Him. If only we suffer with Him that we might be glorified with Him. This is the unique mystery of salvation, the unique mystery of the Holy Spirit coming down upon us, that God knows that the universal language of humanity is suffering. And so what does He do? He sends His only begotten Son into the world to suffer with us. And then in suffering with us, transforming our heart to hopefully, little by little, transform the world to know the universal calling we all have of love. The universal call we have to experience the source of all unconditional love, which is Jesus. The way in which we experience that unconditional love is through the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us in the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of all the conditions of this world of darkness, doubt, fear, shame, confusion, rejection, abandonment, all these things that tend to define us and trap us in this suffering that God sends His Son to liberate us from. If we just take a moment to reflect on the word the Holy Spirit, paraclete, it's the word that's used. This translates more or less to someone who is at our side, the consoler, the comforter. The Holy Spirit is someone who stands beside us in the midst of this of the suffering of this world, the midst of the sufferings of our sins, the midst of the sufferings of the wounds and pain done against us by others. He is God's Spirit, Jesus Himself, at our side, comforting and reminding us that love conquers all suffering, that Jesus is with us in that suffering. And if we unite that suffering to Him, we will be glorified in Him. Our suffering becomes joy. Our darkness becomes light. Our hopelessness becomes hope. This is the Christian mystery of love and the Christian mystery of the beginning of the life of the church that we celebrate today, this coming of the Holy Spirit that in a powerful way sends the church out to proclaim this mystery of uniting this universal language, the universal experience of all humanity, your suffering, to the powerful good news that God has come to save and be with you in your suffering to liberate your hearts. It's interesting, the apostles don't go out and start talking to people about the love that they've experienced in your life. No, they begin with the universal suffering. We are sinners. God has come to save. We're in darkness. We struggle. And God the Father has sent the only begotten Son to liberate us, to free us, believe, repent, and receive the good news. Come alive in the joy that comes with the Holy Spirit alive in your life as you hand your suffering over to the Lord that He might be glorified within us. Now, Father Joseph, that's a lot of very powerful, loud words that you're sharing with us today. But how does that practically come about in our life? How do we practically receive the Holy Spirit? Well, most of you, I think hopefully all of you, have received the Holy Spirit through the three sacraments of initiation, where we receive the Holy Spirit in a particular way. First one being baptism, where the Holy Spirit comes upon us. First coming upon the font, if you remember, the priest prays this powerful prayer, calling down the Holy Spirit upon the water of baptism, this same Holy Spirit that was represented by a dove that appeared after Jesus' own baptism and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So at our baptism, the Holy Spirit, the power of God coming down upon us and claiming us as a child of God, saying, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, you are mine. Sacrament of confirmation, where we come before God, and the Holy Spirit that was given to us at our baptism is sealed over us. The power and fullness of the Holy Spirit comes upon us to allow us to live in the power of God. Specifically, in a world that is constantly coming against us with the lies and darkness that's so connected to the sufferings that we experience in our life, the doubts, the fears, the senses in our life that God has abandoned us. Confirmation, we receive the power of God to abide in the truth, to become true, mature Christians, joyful disciples who said, Jesus, I lay down my life for you completely. I say yes to what you've done for me by first saying yes to humanity. Really, the Holy Spirit in confirmation is supposed to represent a lot of time what I think our Protestant brothers and sisters more powerfully understand, a moment in our life where we say completely yes to God. I lay it all down. I choose you completely with my whole heart. And in choosing you completely, opening my heart, even amidst my sins and my difficulties and my weakness, God, you fill me in that place of openness in my life, and I become fully yours. There's a lot of words that's used for this experience. You know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a moment of conversion, a moment of true encounter with God. This happens sometimes very rapidly in our life, sometimes a powerful retreat experience, sometimes it happens very gradually, but that's the only way God comes fully alive in our life, through this full conversion where we lay down our life to God and say, Abba, Father. And we truly come to know that we're heirs of the kingdom of God. We truly come to know with every fiber of our being, by saying yes to God, that he has chosen us, and we say yes to him. And then we're sent forth to share that good news in the world through the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These powerful gifts that God gives us, charisms that first are given to us to help us live our life. Think of the four cardinal virtues: prudence, temperance, justice. Which one am I forgetting? Prudence, temperance, justice. Fortitude, there we go. Thank you. These four powerful virtues that help us to live in the Spirit of God in our life and to face the universal language that we all experience, suffering. Suffering in our own heart, suffering of our family. How do I love this person in the midst of their suffering? Well, I have courage. I seek justice. I have temperance, meaning that I control my life in simplicity so that I can ultimately have space in my heart for others. And then prudence. Praying for discernment and clarity in how to act in the midst of the suffering of my life. And then the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, these powerful gifts that God gives us to live in the truth. Fear of God, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, all these things that help us to live in God's power. And then the charisms of the Holy Spirit, unique gifts that are given to us to give to the church that make us all one body. Gifts of administration, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of mercy, gifts of faith. Many manifestations of the Holy Spirit that allow us to live in the power of God, and in a particular way, offer that gift of love to others in the midst of their suffering. The question we might ask ourselves today is, are you fully alive in the Holy Spirit? Have you said yes to God, who has given his life to come into the midst of your suffering to save you? Are you every day asking for the grace to live in your baptismal identity as a beloved son, a beloved daughter of God? Are you living in the power of your confirmation, believing that you have the power to transform the world, first by allowing God to transform your life, and then to offer love to others in your family, in your vocation, to your kids, to your parents? Are you using charisms that God has given you, skills, talents, unique ways in which you're drawn to care for others in unique ways? Are you using those to build up God's kingdom or to build up yourself? These are ways in which we allow the Holy Spirit to come truly alive in our life. We say, come Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means abiding in these truths and allowing them to be strengthened through our life of faith, through prayer, through the sacraments, through reading the scriptures, through living out the Holy Spirit alive in our midst as one body in Christ through our community of faith, being active in ministries, serving our church with our time, talent, and treasure, all these ways in which we pour out of our life to God, saying, I want this spirit of truth, the universal language of love that you desire to transform the world with. I desire to live that out and be a conduit of this powerful hope that the world is yearning for in the midst of their suffering. We could think about the universal call to live that truth in the world. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your suffering, unite it to me, the consoler, the Holy Spirit that's at your side. Unite it to the gift of love that I bring to you in the midst of your suffering. Know that my love is with you there. Let it transform your life and then live it, allowing it to transform those around you, those you most powerfully love. So we ask for that grace today to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're about to celebrate the third sacrament of the Holy Spirit, which is the Eucharist, which is the Holy Spirit alive in our midst, which allows us to become one body in Christ who becomes fully present with us. It's very powerful. If you didn't notice, the sun right now is right over here on this side of the church, and it's shining through this stained glass window, which is the stained glass window of the Holy Spirit. Right here we have the dove, which represents, once again, the Holy Spirit who speaks to Jesus at his baptism, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. The rays of the sun, representing the only begotten Son of God, the incarnate love that transforms our suffering, who comes down through the rays to be here with us on the altar of salvation. Let us receive him with an open heart today. Let us ask for an indwelling of that Spirit to transform our life, to transform our families, our vocations, and the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.